Monday.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Because He Lives program. My name is Daria Richards and I'm joined by my wife Linda Richards as we continue our series answering the question that the disciples asked in Mark 4, who is this man? But before we get into our discussion, I would like to thank our sponsors, Federal Mortar Spears and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. So Lynn, we are here continuing our conversation, answering the question that the disciples asked Jesus when he calmed the storms. What manner of man is this? Who is this man? And as we explore the book of Mark, we can find multiple answers to this question because we know it is difficult to give just one answer to who Jesus really is. So Lynn, do us a favor and read this morning's passage.
Good morning, Barbados. We're reading from Mark chapter 1 from verse 21 to 28. You can read along with me. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that we are asking the question, who is this man? And in this passage, we get one of the first answers to the question. But what is even more interesting is who the answer comes from. The very demons themselves, the very evil spirits themselves, which really introduces the first answer we want to give. That this man, Jesus, is the victor over demons and by extension, evil itself. Yeah. So as we explore this idea, one of the things that we should first establish is what has been the impact of demons, the demonic and evil on us as human beings, on us as mankind. As we know, man would have fallen in the garden, but even before the fall of man in the garden, we had the fall of the devil and his demons. And as we think about how has this reality impacted us, I think one of the first places or the best places we can look for an answer to really define the state that we as humankind was in as a result of this is to actually look at Jesus. In Luke chapter 4 verses 18 to 19, Jesus kind of presents what I would call like a manifesto, like a purpose statement as to why he was on the earth. And in his purpose statement, he clearly outlines what the state of man is, and as a result, what he has come to do for man. Hear what he says. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the captive free, to proclaim the year of the Lord." Here we see a clear definition of the state of man. Poor, spiritually impoverished, spiritually blind, and captive, spiritually in captivity. And this is the impact of the demonic of evil on man then as it is now. Mankind, without the work of Jesus, continues to be spiritually impoverished. We continue to be spiritually blind and able to see the truth. And we continue to be captives, to be prisoners, to be bondage and slaves to sin and to evil. And this is the state that we are in, and demons work over time to keep us in.
Yes, and we can see this evident in our world, even as we just take a cursory look around our own community, our lives, our neighborhoods. We see the impact of the effect of the demonic oppression on the lives of individuals. But even as we may look in our own lives, we have all experienced some form of spiritual struggle. Mm-hmm. Or we may have been in a space where we were afraid, or we are fearful about some aspect of our lives where fear grips us, you know. And this is the impact that the enemy can have on our lives, and the hold the enemy has on our lives, when we succumb to the fear and we succumb to the culture rather than keeping our eyes on God.
Yeah, I love Lynn. You know, because as you say, we can look outward and we can see the impact of evil on the world. Whether it is the wars that are happening in Israel and Gaza, the disruptions happening in Haiti, we can look around and see how it seems that our society is consistently slipping and declining even more into a state of depravity. But we don't even need to look outward mm-hmm. to really be able to identify with the reality, because as the Bible makes it so clear that all of us are sinners. All of us were born mm-hmm. in sin and shaped in iniquity. And as a result of all of us being able to identify as sinners, it means that we all as individuals have experienced spiritual impoverity. We have experienced spiritual blindness. And we have experienced the spiritual captivity that the scriptures speak about. But I also like how you even added that it's not just a spiritual impact, but it can also be a psychological impact. As a result of being impoverished, of being blind, of being in captive, there are certain behaviors, certain things that we would have done in our past that has had a significant negative impact on our own lives. And as a result of these things, fear begins to come in. Guilt begins to come in. Shame begins to come in. And the devil and the demons continue to use these things to keep men in bondage, to keep women blind, to keep us impoverished. That we struggle significantly with things like guilt, like fear, like shame, which are tools oftentimes of the enemy to keep us in a state of captivity. And this is why it is so important that we understand, as we answer the question who Jesus is, that we see the critical importance of him having victory over demons and over evil. Because we as human beings can intimately identify with the fact that we are in serious need, and we were in serious need of a savior, because despite our spiritual and our psychological state, one of the things that probably, you know, affects us the most is, in the midst of it, we all learn very quickly that we could do absolutely nothing to help ourselves.
Yes. And that is why we need a savior. That is why we need God, who we can look to, and we find strength in him. It's like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he said to the Ephesians, be strong in whom? In the Lord and in his mighty power, rather than resting or looking for strength to deal with the, you know, the normal everyday issues in our lives. Find our strength in God. That was the encouragement from Paul. Because many times we try to work things out on our own. We try to look for human wisdom to deal with the challenges that we're facing. Even as we work through issues within your marriage or issues with your children or issues at the workplace, we try to, first of all, find wisdom in human theories and human knowledge rather than dealing with or going to the source of all authority and all truth. And as we look at this passage in Mark, we see Jesus going into the synagogue and he is teaching, and people are at awe at his authority to be able to explain and bring truth to the scriptures, because before then, they were relying on the Pharisees and the scribes who knew scripture and who had the authority because they were able to explain. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, there was a notable difference because Jesus came grounded in the divine. He was both man, but he was also God. And so he brought an element that was missing, and that was the authority of God that he stood on. And as we deal with the challenges in our lives, we would only be able to address them fully if we come with the missing element, the authority and strength of God. And so that is the aspect that needs to be addressed in our lives.
I am so glad that you mentioned this, you know, and I laugh in the way, because it's so true. That oftentimes we try to address spiritual issues with human solutions. Mm-hmm. And it just can't work. And I think part of the reason behind that is, I think a lot of people think of the devil and think of demons as these, you know, these fairy tale figures, not realizing that there is a real enemy who is like a crouching lion, seeking, he's searching, looking for who he could devour. We just read Jesus's manifesto on what he came to do for us, but we could also find the manifesto of the devil in the scriptures. His intention is to kill. It is to steal. It is to destroy. He has an agenda. He has a role in our lives, him and the demons. And it is important that we recognize that oftentimes many of the issues that we experience, many of the challenges that we face are of a spiritual nature. And the only way that we can solve them, the only way they can be effectively addressed, is if we also find spiritual solutions. So Lynn, tell us now, as we read this passage, as we acknowledge the impact of the demonic, the impact of demons, but equally see that Jesus has victory over demons, authority over evil, help us to further answer the question, who is this man? By sharing what do you believe are some core ideas that we can extract about Jesus from this passage.
Great. So one of the first things I want us to notice is as we scan scripture and we see the mention of demons or the devil in scripture at any point, there is always a juxtaposition where we see that the focus isn't on them. You may reveal their power or how they are able to oppress, but the focus is always on the authority and the identity of God. And so that is the first point. Even as we look at this scripture, verse 24, the impure spirit says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And that is the first point. If we are going to live in the secret place of God and abide in his presence, then we must focus on his identity. We must remind ourselves that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And so that gives us confidence in Jesus as the Son of God and the ultimate authority in our lives. And that is where we want to begin. We want to strengthen our faith to address daily challenges, to address daily struggles, by understanding that we are abiding next to the Holy One of God. And it's not just us that recognizes Jesus as the Holy One of God. Impure spirits and the enemy himself recognizes Jesus as the Holy One of God. And so we can find assurance and we can find protection in his presence, especially in moments of temptation, in doubt or fear. We can find assurance in the presence of God because of who he is as the Son of God. So that is the first thing I want to emphasize, the identity of Jesus as the Son of God and the fact that we are abiding not next to anybody, some kind of body. We are abiding next to the Holy One of God.
I love that, you know, because I think it, you know, further strengthens the point that we were making just now. We're in our own states of blindness, of being impoverished, our states of captivity, that there is nothing we can do about it. And it is clear that there is only one who can have the authority and who can actually have the solution that we need for our own liberty and our own freedom. And what you're saying, and what we see very clearly in the scriptures, that one of the clearest indicators that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is truly the Son of God, God himself, is the authority that he has over the demonic and over evil. So whether it be, you know, wherever heritage you're from the experience of casting out demons or the experience of really experiencing spiritual freedom, if you have experienced that, if people testify about that, what they're ultimately testifying about is that Jesus is who he says he is. Because only Jesus, only God himself has authority to address the issues of evil and the demonic. That's a strong point. I love that.
So it's not just his identity as the Son of God, but it's also something you mentioned, just talking about his authority over evil, which is the second important aspect. Victory of the kingdom of God over forces of evil. As we look in this passage, the impure spirit identifies Jesus, calls out his identity, but then the next thing happens in verse 25. Jesus says, "Be quiet, come out of him." And then we see in verse 26, the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now, this emphasizes that Jesus' identity as the Son of God is associated also with his authority as the Son of God, and his authority connected to the kingdom of God over forces of evil. What does this mean to us? It means that as believers, we can engage in spiritual warfare with confidence and faith because we are abiding in the kingdom of God. We are associated with God who has power over evil. The impure spirit shook the man violently. There can be many assumptions of this. For me, is he didn't want to come out, but he had to come out. He was compelled to come out because Jesus said, you have to do it. Come out of him. And so it doesn't matter where we are, what we're dealing with, or what we're facing. We know that when we are connected to God, all of the enemies have to bow. Psalm 91 says that they can come close to us, but they cannot touch us. That is the power of the kingdom of God over evil. So we can stand firm on the truth of God's word and wield the weapons of prayer, scripture, and worship to combat evil forces because we are connected to Christ. It's what Paul says simply as putting on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. We are only able to do this because the kingdom of God has power over evil. It doesn't matter what we see in society. It doesn't matter what our past experiences were outside of God. Once we are connected to the kingdom of God, once we belong to God, there is victory over whatever we're dealing with.
Again, a strong point. I think, you know, what this also emphasizes now is as we see, Jesus is the one with the authority. Jesus is the one with the capacity to deal with demons, deal with evil. But this point right here is the point that now reveals our own access. It now reveals, as you mentioned, why we now can be confident. Not because there's anything special about us. Not because, you know, we now have this super saiyan power if he's a Dragon Ball Z fan. But because Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the one with the authority, through his death and resurrection, we are invited into the kingdom and we are given the opportunity now to be clothed with him, to be filled with him. That in my heart, in my life, I am now a recipient. I am now a carrier of the kingdom of God. I am now a son of God. And as I walk with him, as I move through life in commitment with him, as I go, he goes with me, and that means that the authority of Christ goes with me. And because I am a son of God in his kingdom now, I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to be concerned. Again, not because of how special I am, but because of who is in me, who it is that I am walking with, who it is that I am carrying. So that as the devil and the demons continue to attempt to keep me impoverished and attempt to keep me in captivity and attempt to keep me blind, I now know that I can actually be rich in spirit. I can actually see clearly. I can see the light. I can see the truth. I know that I can live and walk in freedom because of what Christ, who has the authority, has done. I know he lives and he abides in me. Excellent. Any more you want to add, Lynn?
Yeah, I think the final component that I would want to add is that when we examine Jesus' authority over demons, it foreshadows the ultimate defeat of Satan. Mm-hmm. As we go through scripture, we know that Satan's time is short. We know how it ends for him. But in the heat of our experiences and our circumstances, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that Satan is on borrowed time. Yeah. That even our situations, even our challenges have limits. Because ultimately, if we surrender our lives to God, if we have accepted his gift of salvation, we know what the future is. God promises us eternal life. He says that he will give us abundant life. He promises us mansions, but he also tells us that we're going to face troubles in this world.
Yes.
And so as we deal with the troubles, as we deal with the challenges, let us respond in the same way the Bible exposes demons. They let us know that they exist,
But the emphasis isn't on them. It's never on them. Mm. The emphasis is always on God. Mm. The emphasis is always on the future. The emphasis is always on eternal life and the power and authority of God. So I think it's an important point to bring out, just that as we look at these passages, remember that this foreshadows the ultimate defeat of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And then how then should we respond? If we know that Satan's time is short, it means we don't want to align ourselves on the losing side. That's the first thing. We want to remove every association that we have with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
All those occult practices, checking horoscopes, or going to somebody to get a word from that person about our situations. We want to cut all of those things off because that is the losing side. And we want to align ourselves with God. We want to align ourselves with the kingdom of God, focusing on who God is, focusing on how we strengthen and enhance our relationship with God. And hopefully this should compel us to live holy lives in response to who God is.
You know, this just reminds me of, you know, the story, I think it is in Luke 10, where Jesus is sending his disciples out and he's giving them the authority to go out, to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, you know, to do all that he has been modeling to them. And the disciples come back so excited. They come back, you know, just telling Jesus, testifying about all that they were able to do, how even the demons bowed down and came out as they ministered. And Jesus embraces them and he tells them, look, behold, I myself, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. You know how we talk about in the holiness tradition, we are saved, we are being saved, and then we will ultimately be saved in heaven. Satan has the same experience, but on the opposite hand. He has been defeated, he is being defeated, and he will ultimately be defeated at the end. And the reason why I reference that story is because Jesus then tells these disciples, listen. I know you were able to display power and display authority, but don't let that be what you rejoice in. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Meaning, keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. The focus is never on the demons. It's never on the evil. It's about the fact that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are no sons, we are no daughters of God, and our names are written in heaven, which means that is the biggest indicator that not only has Jesus already won, but we have already won as well. Because my name being written is a prophetic declaration that I am on the winning side, that I am on the side of victory. And even though, as Len said, there will be trials and tribulation, my mindset heading into these things can be fixed because I know that I have a hope that is an anchor for my soul. It is firm and it is secure. It is certain as long as my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah. So just to recap those points, who is this man? He is the Holy One of God, victor over demons. And this reminds us about his identity as the Son of God. It reminds us that the kingdom of God already has victory over the forces of evil. And it reminds us of the future that is to come, that God is going to ultimately defeat Satan and all of his demons. And so as we encourage you, I want to just repeat the words from Paul where he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Amen. I don't think there is anything more that needs to be added to that. I think what we have discussed is sufficient, that we are clearly seeing the answer to this question, who is this man? What manner of man is this? And it amazes me, Lynn, that we have only provided one answer so far. And there are multiple answers to this question. And today we see so clearly that Jesus is victorious. He is the victor over demons. Mm-hmm. That he has authority over the demonic, over evil, and over sin. And he is the only one who has the capacity to provide the spiritual solutions that we have to the spiritual needs that plague our souls. Somebody may be listening to this morning, and you can identify with where we begin. Still feeling a sense of being impoverished. Still feeling a sense of blindness. Still experiencing captivity. And we are here this morning to tell you that even though you have tried and you have failed to bring about resolve and a solution for yourself, we are here to tell you that you do not need to be hopeless, because there is one. And there is only one who has the ability to step into your life and to give you good news and to give you sight and to give you freedom. And that one is Jesus. This man Jesus, who is victor over demons, over evil, and over sin. So God bless you. And we look forward to joining you again next week.
So God bless you. And we pray that you will continue to grow in your knowledge. As Paul says, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, mm-hmm. that you would know God better and know him as the Holy One of God, who has victory over demons, which gives us the confidence and the assurance that we serve a God who can protect us, who can keep us, who will empower us, and in the end, we will have eternal life with him. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday.
Bye. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone.